Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me is Andrew Tulio, and he came in third in our Open Level 2 competition. And people probably recognize Andrew's pictures, or at least Andrew, from a previous contest. So this talk is going to be kind of about what it's like to maintain the condition once you're there. Andrew's pictures from his last competition were really good too, so he's figured out what happens next. Like, we do know a lot of people in the diet and fitness industry can get in shape, competitors specifically, gear up for a contest and sort of just let it all go. A lot of people don't realize that, but that really does happen to a lot of them. So one of the keys is getting there, and probably just as important is staying there. The point isn't just to be in shape for a day. So first of all, well done on your pictures, and then let's get into whatever you think is probably more important to talk about from the maintenance standpoint, because it's still a change in life from the life before your first pictures, right?
And then, yeah, I mean that was actually the thing that surprised me. Like after I had my initial transformation, I was kind of thinking, oh, well, I got to this place, I can just kind of go back to eating the way I was. And that was the thing that I found the most interesting, is that every time I'd try to go to a, you know, let my old habits, you know, kind of sneak in, yeah, I'd find that, the inches would start coming on. So, I actually had to kind of rethink everything. It was kind of an interesting experience.
We'll get into that. That was a pretty profound statement just there. So get into, what do you mean rethink everything?
Well, I really had to start thinking about how to eat, like my meal timing. Cause there was a point there where I can be a really big eater. I never truly looked very big. My initial transformation, I only really had to lose about 20 pounds to get where I am. But I was always just a big eater, and I would eat a big breakfast, a big lunch, and a big dinner. Mm. And habits like that don't lend themselves well to having a lean sort of physique. So I think one of the first things that I really discovered was, one of the things that helped me the most is when I discovered like meal timings, and I would just, it was much easier just for me to have one big meal at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that way count all my, when I first tried, got into this maintenance thing, I would count my calories in the morning, and I count my calories in, during lunch, and then I try to count my calories, for dinner, and I realized that was just too much counting. So
that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't handle the counting. So I realized that I could just, if I have one meal, one big meal, that I could pretty much eat till I'm full, because I'm having a day's in one sitting, and at the same time I'd be at maintenance, and I don't really have to worry about gaining. So that was kind of the compromise I came up with. I can still eat big, but I don't have to gain a lot of weight, as long as I play with the timing of it,
and you keep that big eat sort of all concentrated in one spot.
Exactly. I'll usually have a big dinner. That's kind of how I aim things.
Do you even snack throughout the day, like something small?
Sometimes if it's later in the afternoon, I might have a little something, like if I'm, especially like right before a workout. But I usually find that as soon as I start snacking, like that's when my appetite starts, it picks up. I'll actually get hungry. Like, I guess it's my body's way of saying, all right, it's time to eat dinner now.
Oh, right.
So I just kind of found, I'll drink a lot of like unsweetened tea during the day, a lot of water, and sometime in the afternoon afternoon/early evening, I'll finally, I'll sit down and have a nice big meal. And that's kind of how I approached maintenance. I discovered, and you know, when I first tried doing that, you know, I realized it's more than just eating one big meal. It's very easy to slip up too. So I noticed that it has a lot to do with meal composition. Like I can't eat nothing but cake.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I still like I'll make a habit. You know, I don't let myself eat. I'm not a big fan of the whole complete clean eating concept. Like I will always make sure I have chocolate every day. Actually, I think I remember hearing Pilon mentioning that. I think at some point in time through Facebook or something, he posted that every day he ends. You know, with a little chocolate, or at least he said that, I think, when he was trying to, when you were taking those photographs a while back.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I approach it. I always like to give myself at least a little treat, and it kind of keeps me sane.
Yep. That makes sense. So you still get your variety in, but you just kind of backload it all into one chunk of the day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I'll try to make sure, you know, what I have is, you know, I eat big, like large salads and, you know, things like that. That kind of helped me fill me up. And then to keep myself, not going crazy, I'll give myself a treat, at some point in time today, some sort of high calorie snack,
just not lots of it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Like, everything in moderation.
Yeah, it's such a isn't maintenance such a mundane story when you finally tell it to somebody?
It really is. It sounds, like I said, it doesn't sound interesting, but the thing that surprised me is how much effort and energy it took me to relearn everything. Like, it probably took me a good 6 months to figure out how to eat, like how to rethink everything. And finally, you know, like, cause I think it was during 83 was the first time I tried, you know, that was my first initial transformation. Mm. I think that was in, the fall of 2010. Mm. And, you know, honestly, it wasn't probably till about 6 months later when I finally was at the point where I figured out, okay, this is how I can eat every day without not going overboard and not gaining or not losing. And it's kind of an individual experience for everyone, because trying to figure out that balance of how you can eat, you know, without gaining. And I guess also the trick is I try to do it without counting calories. So I'll every day, you know, I'll look in the mirror, and that's kind of my guide. You know, if I'm getting soft or what have you, I'll make sure I pull back for a few days. You know, and that's kind of how I approach things. You know, the mirror and the my myo tape, because maybe I'm just not a numbers guy, but I know some people will actually sit around going,
oh, you know, what you're doing is the goal. The goal is to get to the point where you don't count and you sort of can feel your way through it. I'm kind of the same. I do kind of what you do. I just add in a couple small snacks throughout the day, and then most, I'd say 80% of my calories are eaten at the end of the day whenever that sort of meal happens. And and I get it. I'm kind of to the point where if I need to get leaner, it's never a change in food. All it is an increase in exercise, which is also the point of reverse tapering. When we get to maintenance, the goal is, if you go, oh, I got to take a pound off or 2 pounds of fat off or something like that, the goal isn't starting to cut calories. The goal is keep your calories right where they are. You know your daily routine. You're like eyeballing it, kind of like how you're eyeballing it now. And then you're like, oh, okay, so I add in cardio for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And, I mean, obviously that's some effort there, but then that slowly takes the extra fat off without really changing what you're doing eating-wise. The idea is to get to the point where all you do is adjust up and down your exercise, but food stays the same.
That's actually a really interesting point, because I kind of my approach was kind of the opposite in that I enjoy cardio because I like the way it feels, and I like, you know, it feels good, but I almost never do it just because, you know, like I don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
But that's actually something I should, you know, probably experiment with down the line. If I ever, you know, next time I start noticing I'm getting soft, I could, rather than pull back on the calories, I think that's a really elegant approach just to pick things up in the gym, you know?
Yeah, and then you adjust that way and see what happens instead of having to adjust the food. Because almost, it's almost, to me, that the thought process there is one, like you said, it took you 6 months just to figure out this calorie pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got that set and it becomes a habit and you're, it's almost like as if your appetite adjusts to it, to something, like you kind of
exactly,
get used to it. I'd rather you not, I'd rather people, if it's possible, I'd rather them not mess with that anymore. Like, kind of don't poke like a sleeping dog sort of thing. Like, let you leave your habit, leave it all. You got it figured out. Leave that alone. And then just add in the cardio slowly and then let the fat come off a little bit slowly. But based on just extra exercise. And the thing is, we can all tolerate a certain amount of cardio that's really not going to affect our appetite. It's when people start going nuts with the high interval stuff and hours upon hours of cardio is when that starts to get into the appetite's way. But, you know, an hour of steady state, that's going to create just enough of a deficit that the fat will start coming off. And it shouldn't really, you know, make you ravenously hungry. You know what I mean? It should be a nice, simple way to only pull on one side of the equation instead of both. Especially because what you said, it takes a while. It takes a while to settle into an eating pattern.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you get there, you kind of know intuitively if you're going overboard or not, or, you know, if you're eating at mainstream. You kind of know that intuitively.
Yeah.
So I guess, adding extra exercise, it definitely prevents, you know, disruptions.
On the diet side, yeah. So would you say you can pretty easily eyeball if you're having, you're right, but more, I mean, obviously you check in the mirror and stuff, but if you come to the end of a day, you're pretty sure it's maintenance. You can just be like, yeah, that was about right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are, you know, I kind of try to keep things, you know, within like the eat, stop, eat mentality. I kind of try to keep things in a weekly sort of overview rather than the daily. But yeah, there's definitely, if I have a day where I went overboard or if I went at maintenance, I can definitely, I can tell that mentally. I can kind of feel the difference without even really doing any level of math in my head with calories or, you know, even, you know, just looking in the mirror. I can have a pretty good guess, like, you know, without I'm going overboard. Yeah.
Do you even bother referencing the scale anymore, or do you just check in every, you know, every now and then just to see what's going on?
I don't really, you know, I don't check the scale for the sake of I guess, you know, wanting to know if I'm gaining or losing weight, but I guess it's one of the things. It's just kind of check in for curiosity's sake. I'll do it like maybe at most once a week, probably closer a few times a week. I kind of will have a rough idea how I'm looking. And the interesting thing is, if I went just by the scale, I'd be I think since I started, and I'm guessing I'm pretty sure this is muscle that I gained, because my waist is actually leaner. But you know, since my initial transformation, I'm probably a good half inch to a, you know, 3/4 inch leaner on the average given day. But I'm 5 pounds heavier. So
I mean, once you get up to maintenance and you're just functioning at like normal food intake capacity, whatever you call it, your muscles will fill out to their sort of true size, so to speak. Like most people, when they do their transformation and or even competitors, when they're on stage at the end of any kind of diet, they're always they're almost by definition undersized. Like you're not the size you're going to be when you're actually maintaining and your muscles are fully hydrated. So yeah, that makes sense. That happens to just about everybody. So that's interesting you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess plus, you know, things like water cuts and stuff like that would also probably, Because I did notice that when I was taking the photographs for the last, for the last batch, that my weight, actually, the day of, I looked at my weight, and I had actually dropped a good maybe 3 pounds or something. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't expecting that.
Did you drop a bit of water? Or how'd you do that?
Yeah, it was water. Or at least I'm fairly confident. Because a few days prior, I was at my normal weight. And then a few days after, I was at my normal weight. And I think it was just me, me cutting back and watching, what I was eating for the few days leading into the photograph. And I realized it was probably maybe about 2 or 3 pounds at least of water weight that just kind of evaporated.
And that's basically what anyone does for a picture. So you maintain just a few pounds above that. So that's good. So you've been maintaining for a while then, like at a pretty consistent body weight. Like do you notice your water fluctuation? That's the other thing. If we get on the scale too often, our water fluctuations will mess with our heads. That's why I say we stay away from it.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's kind of an odd thing. I will notice, usually a fluctuation of, 2 or 3 pounds, depending, if I had a big meal the night before and I get in the scale, it's very different than, if I got on a scale in the middle of a fast or something.
Yeah.
I'll definitely notice, fluctuations going on there. And definitely, in the mirror as well, I will notice flux. I'll try that. That I try not to let myself go crazy about, but I will definitely notice. I can see fluctuations in water weight in the mirror as well. But I guess it's one of the things. It's part of being at maintenance. You have the high days and the low days. As long as in somewhere in the middle, it all evens out. I'm happy.
Yeah. So let's take a little review here. You basically take a weekly outlook. You more or less do a semi-daily fast and then backload all your calories.
Exactly.
You go off of feel and look. You kind of don't use the scale and you don't necessarily count calories anymore. And you go off of sort of a weekly, where am I this week versus last week? And then I guess finally you said that if you do seem to be softening up a bit, you just reel the calories back a bit. And that's more or less maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, in a nutshell. I mean, my approach to it is, since I always have the calories at the end of the day, I kind of cluster my calories. My logic was that if I noticed, putting on a little, weight, getting a little soft, it really doesn't take much, more than, a few, like two, maybe 200 calories a day, a few weeks, a week or two, and that's all
in.
I really need to do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just the smallest change,
Yeah. So, and I like what you said there, the way you do it makes it easy to adjust versus having multiple meals. Then all of a sudden you're like, you kind of do need to count. I never even considered that until you said it, that makes it simpler by having it sort of in one chunk. I guess there's multiple ways to do this. That's, you found a way that works. And as far as training goes, what are you doing as far as that? Just working your way through different workouts?
The third edition,
just 3.0.
3.0, that's right. Yeah. When 3.0 came out, you announced the concept of mega cycles, so it was like pretty much all the workouts, and you loop it. And I think I'm finally nearing towards the end of my first mega cycle.
Oh, cool! So you've worked your way through everything.
Yeah, just about. I'm on the last one. Was it IPX and
IXP? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, whatever. They're all in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of cycling through that. That's my last one, and I would have done pretty much everything twice. Aside from that.
Did you do cluster cycles, or were you not counting that in?
Actually, I wasn't counting cluster cycles. I was I've been debating whether or not to do it. It actually looks like a really appealing workout.
If you're kind of coming to the end of your second mega cycle, yeah, for sure, jump into cluster cycles this time around.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good, because I wasn't quite sure at one point in time, you know, that'd be appropriate, because, you know, but yeah, I was looking at it, and I was really excited to do it. I just didn't know. At what point?
If you're that experienced through the mega cycle, then yeah. And, you know, just be ready to be really, really sore. Yeah, it'll be a new level of soreness that you probably haven't experienced
before. That's kind of the goal, you know.
It's novel stimulus, right? It's going to be probably the, I don't know, have you ever done something? Have you even looked at what it looks like?
I have. Yeah, I was actually debating which workout to go to, because I just started, I keep forgetting the name.
IXP. Finish IXP and then just move on. Yeah. Finish it,
yeah.
And then go
so
on.
I just started, and I was debating which one I should have started. But I guess you went this route, and I'll probably do that next.
And by the time you're done that, we've got a new one that'll be out.
That's the Alan Elliott one, right?
Yep. We just named that, it, too. It's going to be called The Gauntlet.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, well, yeah. The point is it's really tough, so...
Yeah. I mean, any insight you can share about that?
Well, I guess this is the first time anyone will be hearing about it whenever this goes live. It's me and Alan went back and forth and put something together that was, it's obviously based on Adonis principles, but it's also what because every time he prepares for a show, he uses our stuff, but he kind of modifies a little bit on the way to a show. To get what he needs out of it. Like, for instance, one of the things he does is right before the show, he uses a rage module to get ready, because the day of the show is a lot of, like, the posing is actually like a lot of work when you're up on stage. Mm-hmm. So you got to be sort of in some degree of conditioning, because you're just constantly flexing everything. And that, like, is actually, mm-hmm. if you tried it in the photo shoots, you know, like it's exhausting to be like constantly flexing like every muscle. So he found that the rage workouts helped with that. So, like, for instance, that's just one example of how we would tweak the workout towards getting ready for some kind of display, like either an event or a photo shoot or whatever. So that's something we added in. It's kind of like a bit of a mashup of everything. You'll, like, when you go through it, you'll recognize something similar to IXP. Then you'll recognize something similar to Rage. Then you'll recognize a few other things. Then you won't recognize, like, other chunks of it that are totally new. So it's... you could almost say it's a bit of a best of, but not really. But you will recognize parts of it, or at least modifications of parts of it.
Mm.
So the
goal of this is it just an intense workout, or is this the goal is for the contest?
Well, no, it's pretty intense, but it's not like I would say it's. Least similar to MBF, and it would feel a little bit more like something in the something like IXP, but it's not exactly like that. It's hard to explain. It's more towards, like, I would put it in to before doing some kind of event. Like, so if you're getting ready for a photo shoot, I would cycle to it before a photo shoot, something like that. But then when you're away from a photo shoot, or, you know, you want to go back into lifting heavier and heavier, like there's chunks of it that are heavy, but I guess it's more in the middle of, like, conditioning versus heavy, where some of the other stuff gets much heavier. So, it's hard to explain. I mean, obviously you can put it in wherever. You don't have to use it just before a picture, but that was kind of like the thought process. So it's got a bunch of different pieces to it. I don't know. Was that was that description enough? I don't know.
Oh yeah, it was definitely, because I've been hearing rumors about it, and I'm glad to hear a little bit more about it.
The one interesting thing is it's a lot more like body part splits.
Mm.
So it'll resemble a bit of traditional bodybuilding too. So that's the one thing where it's a bit different as well. And the splits themselves aren't necessarily obvious. It's not like and they those change too. So it's not, you know, like 3.0, it doesn't really look like a bodybuilding split routine, and neither does ATS. This one will look a little bit more like a bodybuilding split routine.
So you'll have like one day it would be solely for one body part,
not
just legs,
not exactly
or
one
arms.
Body part, but body parts combined, right? So instead of covering the whole body like in a day or in 2 days, we cover the body in a week. But the way it splits out is changes from week to week. So in that regard, it's like a lot of what – it's a bit of what we do with Adonis, but kind of matched with some body part split bodybuilder stuff.
Mm.
And then at some point, it just strays from that completely too. But that would probably be the one thing guys notice the most, is that they're like, oh, this is a little bit more like splits. So that's another way to decide when you want to use it. For the other stuff that's not split, like for instance ATS, you're doing like the whole body constantly, it might feel good to jump into this after that.
Oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, after anabolic again might be good too, because anabolic again is the cluster cycles is all upper 1 week, all lower the next. This would be totally different than that. So it would kind of try to, I guess you'd want to look at what's the most different and then use that next.
Yeah, and so I guess be cycling how one feels, you know how one feels against your body, and I guess that's what I'm taking away.
Yeah, well, then that's the thing, right? Like there's different things. I guess we're getting into a narrative of working out and how to pick workouts. If you feel like just bored or exhausted on a routine, your body might still be able to do it, but your mind just won't do it. You know, like you just can't do it anymore because you're. That's why they change. That's why we try to change them as much as possible, like every three to four weeks, sometimes two. Like with Rage, we change every 2 weeks. But it's like you have a new vigor or new energy when the thing is completely different. You're like, oh, look at this. This is different, like really different. Like for instance, this workout, this new one with Alan, changes every 2 weeks.
Like, ooh, that's nice.
No section lasts longer than 2 weeks. So as soon as you get really accustomed to that, it switches on you. So part of it's for the novel experience.
That's one of the things that I noticed with 3.0 especially. I noticed like my first time through it was brutal. Actually, next thing I think it was the third time I climbed through it. By the end of it, I needed something that just felt drastically different, you know. And I get the rage cycles help, but to know that something like the gauntlet would have every 2 weeks, you're mixing it up very completely. I think that helps to get that to add that variety in, you know.
Yeah, exactly, and that's kind of how we structured it. So it feels different every 2 weeks. Now some of the and kind of weeks 1 to 6 are different than weeks 7 to 12. Now there's a little bit like starting in the second half of week 7 and 8 sort of look like 1 and 2, but not really. They change in intensity and volume. So they don't necessarily repeat, but you'll be like, oh, okay, this is a little bit like 6 weeks ago. But that's long enough ago that you're like, oh, that's different. That's the underlying theme for – because we ought to work out, right? Like now that you've figured out calorie maintenance, that's sort of – you know, that's like a 2 out of 10 for effort. It's still effort, but it's not like massive effort. It took you a while to solve it. But there's no quote solution to working out. You have to always work out. The idea is to just make workouts as tolerable and as fun as possible without making them boring or routine and to avoid injury. That's like the trick to working out.
Yeah. I mean, I never understood these people. I see them day in and day out. They'll, at the gym, they do the same workouts over and over again. And I always imagine getting bored, you know. And I think one of the things that I always find exciting is, as soon as I'm ending one, you know, like it was so exciting for me, you know, is it IXP or is it anabolic again? And that was kind of the big moment of excitement for me. How do I want my workouts to feel for the next, you know, the next few weeks? And I think mixing it up is really where it gets kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah, that's the only way to keep people. That's the only way to stay on track for anybody. To keep myself or anybody interested. Otherwise, it just you lose focus. You put in half-assed workouts, and then you're wondering why you're not getting anywhere. Some of my friends at the gym who compete or just can't wait for their trainer to give them a new workout. And no, it doesn't even matter how what the workout is as long as it's new. They just can't wait for that
Yeah.
day. Just like you, they just can't wait for like, oh, finally it's something else. Because we
Yeah.
adapt so quickly. It's kind of like when people have don't know what to do, and not like Adonis people or Venus people, but just people I talk to in the gym, they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And they're just like, oh, I'm bored with my workout. And these are people who don't know that I make workouts and sell them. I'm like, well, why don't you grab a, have I ever explained the deck of cards workout? Did I ever blog about that? Have you heard that one?
I don't recall. I don't recall.
Okay, so all
No.
you do, if you totally don't know what you want to do, all you want to do is go to the gym and get something done. You take a deck of cards with you to the gym, and it only really only works with a training partner, and the partner, you go back and forth with your partner choosing exercises, and our paradigm was, for instance, one day it was just upper and lower, so each person just takes a turn calling out an exercise. And then, so let's say you were like, okay, you're assigned to lower. So you're like, okay, squats. And then we flip the card, and whatever the card says, that's how many reps we do of squats. And then you don't leave the gym until you're done the whole deck.
Wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
and then so if you said squats, and so we go do our set of squats, and then let's say we flipped a jack, so that's a 10. So any face card's a 10.
Yeah.
And then let's say I'm like, okay, so push-ups. I flip the next card and it's like 6. So we just go do 6 push-ups. And it's weird because like the reps won't necessarily match the exercise. You'll end up with like literally 6 push-ups. Like, yeah, don't worry, that's just what the card says. And the thing is, you just do it. And by the end of it, you're like, that was such a cool workout. Because when would you ever design a workout with 10 squats, 6 push-ups, 8 lateral raises? Because you're just going back and forth with whatever the guy says, and the exercise you pick. Normally, when you design a work or when I design a workout, you think, does that exercise really appropriate for that many number of reps? And you kind
Yeah.
of like don't, you wouldn't really do a 6 push-up set. That just kind of sounds stupid. But when you do a deck of cards workout, it's cool because you end up doing things. You're like, oh, okay, whatever, I'll just do it. And by the end of it, it's a real interesting workout.
I can also imagine potentially if you have the right workout partner, it would could be potentially brutal workout,
Oh, if they just keep choosing the toughest exercises, yeah.
I mean, it could be really interesting depending on who you're working out with.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And once you get the hang of it, you're like, okay, I get it. I get it. I see how this is working, right? Like what we did with that was at the end, we were like, ah, we don't want to do anything for 2, 3, or 4 reps. It just seems too low. So we just counted that as 20, 30, and 40-second planks. So anytime we pulled a 2, 3, or 4, it was just a plank for that many seconds. And it was cool. And so you end up with this sort of overall, it kind of turned into this sort of conditioning, whole body conditioning workout, but it was, by the end of it, you're like, that was cool. I'm glad I did that, right? And if you're not on target and you don't really have any plan for the day, you got to get something done. Might as well do that. The other thing I coached somebody on was just 1,000 reps. Just go in the gym, get 500 for upper body done and 500 for lower. However you get it, however fast, just go. Yeah. And so you do a bunch of light reps, like that could be 2 couple hundred push-ups, it could be some body weight squat, whatever it is, just get it done. And then you'll naturally, just based on sort of exhaustion and boredom, keep switching the exercises to the point where you're like, okay, I've had enough of push-ups, I'm gonna try something else. And you just go. And at least you've got this target. All you do is count up from 1 to 1,000 and just keep going. So those are two ways. It's not as hard as you think. It's actually not that hard. And it just quells the boredom, and it gives you some simple, simple structure when you actually don't have. If you do go to the gym with no real structure, you could either just think, count to 1,000, or do the deck of cards if you happen to have a deck of cards with you. Those are
Yeah,
the.
and it also kind of makes a game out of it, which
Totally.
kind of makes it fun, I'd imagine, as opposed to a lot of these people who just go in day in, day out, and it's grueling, and you're kind of making entertaining,
Totally. Well, the key there, the key with both of those is that you don't really know what's coming. Even with the 1,000 rep workout, even though you're choosing the whole thing, you still don't know how you're going to fill them in. Like based on how you feel throughout the middle of the workout, you're like, oh my God, I'm at the 600th rep. What am I going to do next? And you just look around the gym. You're just like, what's available? I'm going to go over and do that for 20 reps. Again, this isn't necessarily, I wouldn't design a 12-week routine like this, but if you're going to have one of those days, you just don't know what to do, that's what I would do. Yeah. So what can we kind of strayed off track there. So what let's bring this thing home then. What I don't know. What are your final thoughts on maintenance? You're obviously doing a really good job with it.
Well, I guess
you know, I guess my thoughts are just it's one of the things everyone's different, you know. So I guess you have to just kind of feel your way around it. It takes a little time, you know. Be patient, and you know, just look in the mirror and you know, experiment. And that's the only way that I personally was able to get there. And I just you know, imagine everyone's different, but you know, that's I guess that's my approach and thought in a nutshell. Yeah.
Yeah, maintenance is the way you do maintenance will be just the way you do maintenance and not the way anybody
else
does. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I would never tell anyone to do exactly what I'm doing, because you know that's what works for me. You know, depending on your body, you might throw yourself off one way or the other drastically, depending on how you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the patience thing is key, right? Like, took you 6 months.
Where you think you really got it. And it was me being, I spent so much energy getting to this point. I'm not going to slip up, you know? So it was just kind of, I guess there's motivation that was alone. That was just getting me going. All right. Well, how am I going to figure this out? And you know, it's one of the things, you know, at first it was harder than it was, you know, towards, you know, eventually kind of eased into it. And you kind of figured things out, and it would be one of the things where at first, you know, there'd be a lot of slip up days, you know, we're not quite sure how many calories I should have been having here and there. But towards the end, you know, once I was trying to figure it out, I guess it just kind of tapered off to the point where, okay, this is how I can eat without slipping up. You know, this is how it feels to be right. You know, it's a matter of getting to the point where I can just feel my way through it. You know,
that's the goal, right? Because it becomes Listen to this. I'm going to ask you something. I want to know if this is what's happening with you too. Are you getting it to the point where it's less conscious and more subconscious, where it's just sort of, like you said, it's a feel where you're like, you don't need to think about it. You just kind of get it. It's almost like riding a bike. You don't have to think about riding a bike. You get on. You know if the bike's falling, but you just know. You're like, oh, right, I got this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, it's kind of one of those things that it's like walking up a staircase. As soon as you start thinking about it, that's when you trip over yourself. But right. You know, if you just ever just walks up staircases every day, no one ever thinks. And that's kind of how I felt. I almost like as soon as I had to rethink things, I realized it was much harder than because I was rethinking everything and I had to question everything. And eventually now I'm at the point where the less thought I put into it, it's almost better. Because I think everyone intuitively knows, you know, if they're overeating, and I just know. And so I'm always half surprised when I kind of, you know, hop on the scale. I'm like, oh, I'm exactly where I was last week. You know, it's always kind of that pleasant thing. But it's a very minimal amount of effort once you get there. Once you figure it out and it gets to the point where you just feel your way through, it's no real thought. It's kind of like a zen thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You've kind of downloaded into long-term memory. It just does its thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I guess that's the goal, right? I'm sure some people listening are like, man, I want to be there. But that's it. That's the point. The point isn't to be constantly thinking about a diet. It's to be not thinking about it at all. Like, really, you should just be excited about the next workout and not really worry about food anymore.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
All right, well, that's as good as any place to leave it. I think that was pretty good. So well done on maintenance and showing us how at least one way to do it is. And thanks for being on the call.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so for Andrew Tullio, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.